This is Artist Stories, featuring the stories of artists and arts organizations in our region. Artist Stories is a project of the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona, which is partially funded by the City of Tucson and Pima County. I'm your host, Ava Romero. Today, I'm with Renes Nazca and Amy Falk of Leaps for Lives Dance Company. Renes is founder, director, choreographer, and dancer. Amy is secretary, choreographer, and dancer as well. Leaps for Lives has a mission of raising funding and awareness for Southern Arizona Pet Rescue and pediatric cancer organizations through dance productions. Welcome, Amy and Renes.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you.
Renes, your introduction to dance was amazing and kind of tragic, both, being that you discovered a world of passion, but also a truly damaging side of mainstream dance culture. Could you tell us your story, starting with what happened in high school?
Yeah, I started dancing in high school, which is unusual for someone who continues dancing this late in life. Most of us start as little girls. And I found my passion for dance 14 years old in a classroom here in the old Pueblo. And my dance teacher was not very supportive of me as a dancer in the program. She had cut me my sophomore year and had instructed me to lose some weight, kind of keep a food journal, and then we would reevaluate and see if I would be welcome back into the program my junior year. So that experience really put me on a different path with dance. It made me want to take an approach that was more inclusive and really true to myself, despite what culturally seemed acceptable.
You told me that she had all of the girls keeping food journals, and that keep this journal, and when you're proud of what's in it,
yeah,
come back to me and we'll talk.
That's right. Yep.
How did you feel about that in that moment?
I was devastated by that, because I felt then, and even looking back on it now, I remembered the passion I had for the art and the passion I had to dance and move my body. And I hadn't been exposed to art in that form. And it was devastating. It was devastating. That was the beginning of dance for me.
Not the end, but
not
the beginning.
The end. No.
Today, body positivity is more of a thing. You told me that maybe your peers weren't so sensitive to that kind of stuff at the time. And this, we should clarify, happened when you were in high school, which was around what year?
I graduated in 2005. So we're talking probably like 2000, 2001. It was a long time ago.
It was a while ago. It was maybe before the body revolution happened in the Tucson scene. You had a terrible story about a Slim Fast scan.
Oh, I did. My best friend, she decided to wrap a Slim Fast scan for me inside a large box, and then in a smaller box, and then in a smaller box, and in a smaller box. And the Slim Fast scan was like the gift in the bottom of all of these boxes. And I remember just opening this in the suspense of my 11th birthday at like Skate Country. So they were terrible to me. Another memory that's coming back to me now is buying bathing suits for swim time in school. And I had a purple one, and I had this full body purple bathing suit, and they were calling me Purple Whale. I mean, kids can just be so terrible. And so to have that reinforced by a teacher in high school, like in a setting where you should be comfortable to grow and learn and experience, it was devastating to me. But I mean, but she didn't get me down.
Yeah, because those can be moments that are really scarring. And I think that often they're so normalized that we don't notice how bad we're hurt by them, or we just think it's part of, you know, the female experience or the body experience. But it's serious stuff.
Right. Whatever shape you are, whatever color you are, whatever you think might not be perfect about you, it's you, and it's unique, and it's what makes you beautiful.
That's right. So you had that mixed introduction to dance, and you graduated from high school. What happened after that?
Really, I I just still had that passion to dance. So I kind of got a couple of friends together. We went, picked up a gym membership, and there were three, four of us sometimes just getting together to dance once a week. And we had our first show. That was 2009 as what became Leaps for Lives. Of course, we didn't know then what we were doing, but we performed at this Michael Jackson sing-along, in tribute to him the year he passed away.
It's a great reminder that nonprofits can start with just a group of friends getting together to do something they believe in.
Absolutely. We kept kind of just rehearsing, and we were just getting together to dance, putting on a number or two here or there at different events. And in 2012, we had been rehearsing at the Dance Loft down on 19th Street from 10 p.m. to midnight, this group of us. And there were 10, 11, 12 of us, something like that. It was not a small group. And the owner came to me and she said, "You're going to have to find somewhere else to go because it's time for us to shut our doors." And I thought, well, but maybe... maybe I should buy it, and then we can run the dance company out of here, and I'll, you know, give a go at running a dance studio. And so I did. I was lent the money, and I bought the dance studio, and we reopened the Dance Loft after a little bit of a facelift. Yeah, the dance company really bloomed from there, from having our own space and being kind of able to operate on our terms inside the Dance Loft.
Things did change, however.
Leaps for Lives kind of stayed at the Dance Loft, and that's the first time we started the Leaps for Lives dance showcase. I had three dogs and all this energy, so I thought, let's put this show on and see if we can raise money to do more good. So we did. In 2013, we started the Leaps for Lives dance showcase. It really kind of took off from there. 2014, 2015, we had the Dance Loft. We put on this show. We raised a little bit more money each year, and we started climbing this ladder. The big change happened in 2016. I had a baby, and I had sold the dance studio because I thought there was no way I could work a job, raise a baby, run a dance company. So we incorporated the dance company into a nonprofit, closed the Dance Loft, and Owen, my son, was born, and he was born with a form of pediatric cancer called Langerhans cell histiocytosis. And from there, I needed help. And I had the girls, and they were wonderful showing up to dance practice, but I knew there was no way we were going on without somebody else getting involved to help really take the reins and run Leaps for Lives, because my priority had to shift to focus on my son's health.
What an amazing journey. And of course, it doesn't end there. It's still very much in progress. Amy, could you tell us about your dance journey?
In, I think, fifth grade in my elementary school, we had this, like, play that got put on, and so there was, like, a dance ensemble in it, and so I guess I tried out for it. I don't totally remember, but I remember being in it, and I loved it, and so I kept kind of trying to participate in those things as I got older, and so then when I was in high school, my high school didn't have a traditional dance program. And so the only way that I would have been able to dance is if I was able to seek services elsewhere, if I was able to go to another studio. But I mean, the studios can be very cost prohibitive. You have to put money into it to really get a whole lot out of it, especially at that age. And so I don't know that I ever even approached my parents about it, because I knew it was just one of those things that, you know, they certainly may have tried to make it work, but it just, I didn't want to, like, put that burden. And so Color Guard, basically, I started out with my high school marching band. Color Guard is kind of the auxiliary of it. So it's the flags, rifles. It can include baton twirlers sometimes. And so it's still kind of a body movement in a similar way as dance. And so I started doing that in high school, and I really liked it. I liked being part of something. So I liked being part of the band. I liked being part of the Color Guard. My journey with dance really started when I met Renesse, actually. She was our dance coach for the team. She had the dance company already going, and so she invited us to join.
My daughter is four. and she is going to start her first ballet class through Parks and Rec. What advice would you give to the parent of a four-year-old who's starting off in dance?
It's fundamental education for anybody who's going to have any experience mm-hmm. into dance, so it's the perfect place to start. I think some parents, you know, put their children in these in dance classes when they're very young. For some parents, it's just an experience, and that's a beautiful gift. But for some parents, they take it really, really seriously, and they want to be a competition parent, and they want to have a competition dancer. And it's a lot of money, and it's a lot of time investment. And so let her live it. That's the advice. Let her pick her path and live the ballet.
I think my concern is how to inoculate her from some of the more negative parts of dance culture.
This is going to be hard, and I don't know that it's going to be possible. And some of it, you know, is even part of the experience. We did kind of touch on when we got to speak last time about injuries and the culture that dancers have about pushing their bodies to the limit, past injury, past any kind of setback. And so some of these things are so ingrained in dance culture. It will be having an open dialogue, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I think, too, there's something to be said about not comparing herself to others. Like in any sport, in any activity, there's always a drive to be the best. And so you're always comparing yourself to other people and to what their skills are. And there's this phrase that I like. It's that comparison is the thief of joy. If she loves it and she wants to continue her journey with it, encourage her to do her best and not try to best other people.
So we've talked a little bit about how especially a competition dance environment can be unhealthy because of the way it can force people to punish their bodies. So could you two tell us about how Leaps for Lives is creating a more inclusive dance performance environment, more inclusive performance opportunities in terms of different body types, different genders even, different economic backgrounds perhaps?
We're really trying to just collect all of the energy, right? And so that doesn't come in a shape, and it doesn't come in a color, and it doesn't come in a gender. So if you come to the dance company, to Leaps for Lives, and you want to learn how to dance, or you want to just come and stretch with us or do, you know, abs with us, it's everyone welcome.
And you had given me specific examples in terms of what kind of a time commitment is necessary. Well, what kind of time do you have?
Right, right? Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And also, what kind of ability is necessary? Well, maybe you can do this dance move this way, or you can do it this way. There's an adaptation.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering where Leaps for Lives fits into the Tucson dance landscape.
I think saying that it could be cultivated is exactly where we are. Mm-hmm. I think the culture of Tucson is one that's very community focused and kind of grassroots. And all of the dance organizations here have that kind of a community feel. I feel like Leaps for Lives is just genuine to itself.
I know that here we are three cisgendered women, but I was wondering if you have comments about men in the Tucson dance scene or trans women in the Tucson dance scene. I know, Renes, that you had a friendship with Ralph Romero.
Oh, Ralph. Absolutely. Yeah, Ralph was a dear friend of mine in high school. Ralph Romero put the bow on what was a really, really crappy dance year for me, dance high school situation for me. What's beautiful about Ralph and what's beautiful about dance today versus dance then is Ralph was a gem, 100%. But in that culture, he was one of the only boys, and it wasn't a very warm environment for him. Not that he was discriminated against. I think that he was well loved within, you know, the girls on the dance company, but the dance world now has opened up even more to men, and in a different way. So Ralph was a student in my high school. He was my year. So we graduated in 2005, and he didn't dance until very late in life, just like I did. He started in high school, and he was clearly gifted. He just had a natural talent for it, and he pushed himself, and he became one of the best dancers at our school. In fact, he was the only student that was accepted right into the University of Arizona dance program. None of the females on our in our class were, you know, given that ability to go right from high school into that program, except for Ralph. And he did the summer program that year at ABT. He was such a beautiful soul, so gifted, so kind. And he was tragically murdered when he was 20 years old in a hate crime by another man who was cheating on his wife with men, and he didn't know it. And so Ralph lost his life to keep that man's secret. And it was such a tragedy. And Flowing Wells High School was able to create a scholarship fund in Ralph's honor. And Ralph was a friend. He encouraged me to dance when I was really, really down. And he was a beautiful dancer and a beautiful soul.
It's important to remember how many members of the LGBTQ community are still a super vulnerable population.
Absolutely.
Despite how gifted or successful they may be. We touched upon a little bit the epic change in 2016 when you received the diagnosis of your child.
Yeah. Motherhood has been the most incredible journey of experiencing the world and experiencing the world through now my son's eyes. And at the time, I knew that was going to happen. I knew I was going to have a baby and stuff was going to be kind of turned upside down. But I didn't expect everything to fall apart the way that it did. He was born 7 weeks early. So he was premature. He was very, very small. He was born 4 pounds, 10 ounces. It's just tiny, beautiful, 17 inches long, little tiny baby. And they found the tumors in his leg when he was 5 weeks old. And he had surgery to biopsy them. And that's when we received the diagnosis of Langerhans cell histiocytosis, which is a form of pediatric cancer. And what they told us was that he'd have to undergo a year of chemotherapy. So that meant a lot of staying in the hospital. It meant a lot of taking a brand new baby who was already significantly underweight and having a bunch of other growing challenges into chemo every day in the very beginning. And I had closed the dance studio. I had to quit my job, which I had worked very, very hard for. And I was promoted to store manager. My husband and I just fell apart. It all fell apart. The job, the dance, it all fell apart. And I just had to focus on my son and getting him through this epic journey in the beginning of his really, really, his infanthood. So that's kind of how it all fell apart.
Both of you had talked about how during different trials and tribulations in your life, you were able to find some anchor in Leaps for Lives. Like you had mentioned, during that whole period of chemotherapy, that you were able to make it to rehearsals sometimes and that it really helped you to kind of feel normal again.
The only time I found real peace during Owen's treatment was when I could escape to rehearsal. And we were able to keep the dance company going because the girls on the team, it was important enough to them that it survive. It was bigger than me. It was bigger now, and it had to keep going. And so they kept it going, and because they kept it going, I could go escape there. And I honestly didn't even have the responsibility of like, hey, do anything. They were just like, we're so glad you're here. And I was like, I am so glad I'm here. And so that I needed that fuel because everything else was dark and hard. And I'm so grateful looking back on the experience for how far we've come. But those were dark days.
And Amy, you had shared a little bit about the community that you got through Leaps for Lives and how it gave you the courage to make some changes in your life at a point when you needed to as well.
So there were definitely a couple of things that I went through. You know, the death of a really close family member that kind of left me lost and unsure of where I was going. And then, you know, the end of a serious relationship that luckily by that time I was so, the community that supported me was so strong that I didn't really flounder, I think, as much as I would have had I not been in the company and been with these people who all work towards one single mission and, you know, make everything else feel so bearable. But it was still challenging, but I did it and I felt strong enough to do it because I had something that wasn't falling apart when everything else was.
As I had mentioned at the beginning, Leaps for Lives is an organization that's a dance company, but its mission has always included fundraising for causes.
Absolutely. Our fall show is October 12th. The show's benefiting the Humane Society.
Thank you, Ernest. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been Artist Stories with Ava Romero, featuring the stories of artists and arts organizations in our region. To listen to more podcasts, visit kxci.org. Artist Stories is a project of the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona, which is partially funded by the City of Tucson and Pima County.